Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection, and my new book, The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, available May 2014. Today I am delighted to welcome Sonia Grace, author of Angels in the 21st Century, A New Perspective on Death and Dying, and her newest book, Earthways, Healing Medicine for the Soul. In both books, Sonia intertwines deep insight, fact, and ceremony, allowing the reader to integrate simple practices into their daily lives, supporting their unique spiritual experience while also strengthening their connection to the earth, which sustains all life. Hello, Sonia.
Hi, thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, I'm delighted. This show offers many creative thoughts and techniques, amazing life stories of the gifted authors, as we all try to share our views of true healing on a multidimensional level, and that means physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. And we also offer ways to awaken and broaden our spiritual energy base so we can develop our own intuition and help others recognize theirs, and in this way can open up to achieving greater prosperity, health, and abundance. We need to use all the tools available to us as both a human and spiritual being. And in today's episode, Sonia, who is a mystic healer for over 30 years, uses a wide variety of talents to channel and communicate with the divine, and she will discuss her ideas on various subjects, karma, death, reincarnation, and the energy field that surrounds us and other realms. We will discuss spirituality in the fifth dimension and the patterning of our behavior from this life and past lives. We may also discuss energy in regard to distant healing and how it is possible for a healer or medium to transcend time and space. Tell us something of your early life and beginning awareness of spirit. We may start to see your desire to work with universal energy for your own development and also a means to help others.
Okay, well, this is always a fun story and a great adventure. I grew up on a farm here in Portland, Oregon, and my earliest memory was about 2 years old and rocking my crib across the room. And my mom always thought that was so funny that I would literally be, and if you remember back in the day, cribs were very, very heavy. There's no way that I was actually rocking this crib across the room. I could see my guides who still work with me today moving the crib across the room to bang on the door so my mom would come and get me up. And I grew up playing in the woods and seeing the David Kingdom, the spirits of the trees and the plants. I could see angels. I could see my, you know, relatives. I mean, it was constantly just full-on awareness of the spirit world and hearing them and seeing them and smelling them and feeling everything. So as I developed and, you know, grew up, my poor mother didn't really know what to do with me other than, you know, she seems very artistic. Let's put her in the arts. My mom put me into ballet class, and I went on to actually train and dance professionally as a ballerina. And I was with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival for 10 years and, was on stage for the good portion of my earlier life. And as I was performing and dancing, I studied with various teachers trying to help me understand and build what is the platform that I have today of this work that I do. And I'm as much of an energy surgeon as I am a mystic and a seer and, an intuitive, a healer. I mean, it's sort of like I have such a broad range in which I work. I fit a bunch of different labels and modalities, so it's kind of hard to pin one thing on me.
I understand, because as this has all been developing for me and new spiritual gifts have been presenting themselves, it's been very hard for me to figure out exactly what I should work with, because we're multi-talented, multi-dimensional, and our purpose on the earth at this time seems to be evolving. Just as everything is transforming and evolving, so are we as spiritual healers.
Absolutely. And you brought something up that I think is a really good point that I'd love to share with your listeners. I was speaking. I had a lecture that I gave at an expo yesterday here in Portland, and I was talking to everyone because many of the people in the audience were, you know, like so many of your listeners and people out there, seeking what is my path, what is my purpose. I feel this calling. I don't know what to do. It's like the universe has dialed everybody up and said, okay, it's time to report in, and no one can remember where they left their uniform and their paperwork, you know. Everybody's scrambling going, I know I have that jacket. I just need to find it. And you know, I'm sure you're seeing this in your work as much as me. Everyone's running to the finish line and, you know, thinking that they hit that finish line. There's ascension and enlightenment. And I shared with these people yesterday, it's not about that. If we were all going to just sit here on earth having ascended and being enlightened, we wouldn't still be here. I really feel that it's important that people take themselves off the hook and allow themselves a natural process to evolve.
Absolutely. All they need to do is to continue to feel and to observe and to change.
Yes.
To enjoy and to love at the deepest level. And
exactly.
It will never be over.
I mean, because the minute that we drop into that space of just being and being in the moment, then we can comprehend that we're infinite, our souls are infinite,
absolutely.
And that we always have been and we always will be, and that we can be in that moment and have a lot more clarity about knowing at a deeper level.
I think that'll bring us right to our thoughts on dying and how the loss of your own father helped in defining truer, clearer understanding of the word we use, which really for you and I have no meaning.
Actually, you know, I've got a new book coming out in the fall that's called Become an Earth Angel, Advice and Wisdom for Finding Your Wings and Living in Service. And bringing up my father really brings up this book, because at that time when my father passed, you know, I was doing my work as a energy surgeon full time, and I was basically there and assisting him to the other side. And what happened that next morning after he passed, when he came back to me and the angels were with him, he placed a gold sphere in my crown chakra, and the angels said, you are now one of us. What I write about in Become an Earth Angel is I write about how we're called. We all have this calling happening, but to be an Earth Angel, you really are appointed. It's not something that you just, you know, it's not a badge you put on your body and say, okay, now I'm an Earth Angel and I'm a Reiki worker and I'm a healer and I'm a psychic and I'm a this and I'm a that. It is something that truly is handed to you from the angelic realm. And you know, a lot of people get into this. There's a lot of resistance around, well, how come you can do this and I can't? I'm sure you hear that in your workshop.
I hear it from my husband.
Yes. How can you do this and I can't? And there's jealousy, there's anger, there's resentment, there's all kinds of stuff. And you know, there's a wonderful saying that Buddha. It's a statement from Buddha that says, you know, knowing how to recognize what is not meant for you. And as wonderful as people might think your career and my career is, it is fraught with all kinds of really difficult things that you deal with and I deal with daily that, as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't want anybody else to have to go through.
Well, I feel this way. I feel once I awakened to a new belief system and understanding of my energies and how I could contribute to the world at this time, nothing would have stopped me. No sacrifice would have been too great. I would hold and move through this life doing what it was I was born to do. You know,
exactly.
And I am grateful for the knowledge and the work that we do. I am grateful to know that we are eternal beings here mm-hmm. to evolve and to mm-hmm. help each other and live cooperatively in greater peace and harmony. And I think that's probably one of the things you'd like readers to take away from your books and my new book too. That's one of the things I would like them to know, that we're not perfect as human beings, but the goal for expansion and becoming more aware, more loving, more corrupt, is within our reach.
You know, the thing that I really want, what I was starting to go into and what I explained at this expo yesterday, is for everyone to realize that their spiritualism that they're connecting with now, we're in this fifth dimension, it's a higher frequency, we're all connecting to this higher vibration, which is activating everybody's spiritual body to where, you know, like I said, everybody's running to the finish line, is two things. One is that spiritualism that people feel, that connection that they're making, needs to go into every aspect and every industry on this planet. I need the people who are taking care of my car to be spiritually aligned to work on my car. That car gets me from point A to point B and has protection and all kinds of things that, you know, that I love about that car, and I want really good energy working on my car. And so it's not about, to me, everybody running out and becoming a psychic or a healer or a this or a that.
Oh, of course not. No.
It's about taking their love and connection for spirit into whatever area that they work in. And I love it when nurses and doctors call me and they are spiritually inclined and they've brought that into their work, because, you know, it's needed everywhere.
In other words, when we talk about spirituality, what we're really talking about is pride in whatever it is that we're doing. And we wish people to find the grace in their daily activities. That's what you're saying. That they're advancing in their understanding of who they are, basically, and what life can be if they live it without the negative vibrations of those energies like jealousy and anger and greed, and be purer in everything that they perceive in their work, in their family relationships, in their pursuits like extracurricular activities. Everything should be viewed as a gift.
And to me, to add to that, it's more about, as people seek to find the answers, that they also understand that many of us, this is our last time on Earth. This is our last incarnation, and we will be moving on, either back to where each one of us came from, different planets, different parts of the galaxy, the universe, or we are going to, and most of us, incarnate again on a different place, a different site, a different planet, because we all, many of us, came through at the time of Atlantis to bring in the fourth dimension, which was, you know, what we just went through for centuries, all about love and integrating love into this frequency here on Earth. Now we've moved into the fifth dimension, which is about moving through kind of what the fifth chakra is. It's about communication. It's about telling the truth. It's about being really, really authentic and being able to connect with people telepathically. It's a much higher vibration. So the people are scrambling because they're recognizing, this is my last time here. I've got to make sure I've got everything lined up, and I did the work on my karma, clearing it, so that I can move on. And I simply want to say to your listeners, it's okay. It's all going to work out just fine.
Yeah, I agree.
We don't have to run to the train half-dressed with our suitcase half-packed, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Now, yeah. Sonia, you do say that the physical body is most profoundly affected as we experience death of a loved one, the physical body, you know, the grief process we have to go through. And it's rarely viewed from a perspective of the question, what am I supposed to learn from this? Because modern society attributes such a high level of victimization when it comes to the dying process. Can you tell us why pastimes and cultures understood the passing process or the dying process better than society today?
Well, for one, I am a part of the Hopi culture. My husband's Hopi, and I'm Native American and adopted out at Hopi. And I can tell you right there in my family and my culture that it is so known and understood within the culture where we're going, what we'll be doing, and you know who's there to greet us. I mean, it's just such a part of the belief system that there's no question in anybody's mind. It's just a given. Everybody knows that. And to say as a broader statement, this is truly what religions have provided for people throughout history is sort of that spiritual platform of, okay, this is where you go, and you know this is who will be there, and this is what's going to happen. I go way beyond all religions because I embrace all of them, but I prescribe to none, and I take it into the fact that I have been over there, I've crossed over and come back, I've been to that spirit universe, as I call it, and been back to talk about it, and it's real.
I spend a lot of time in meditation in that place, and people who have experienced near-death experiences in return always have a wonderful view of life now for themselves and others and the afterlife, and they also have a better view of divine source or soul life and realize that religions hold still too many structures and too many limitations on understanding who we really are. So I think you and I are people who are trying to help those who are being held back a little bit by some of the fears that were given to them as children.
It's fear. You're right. It's fear. And not only is it fear, but it, to me, when someone passes in our life, it really comes down to faith. And what is your faith? And I don't say faith from... Faith is so overused in, you know, in the Christian world. It's a very overused word, period. But I mean faith just between you and your source, creator, whatever you call it, Allah, you know, the divine, whatever it is for you. It's like, what is your faith? How much faith do you have that that person is just a thin veil away from you, and they're fine.
Right. And as a hospice volunteer and medium, I always try to share with the families that something important was happening for the soul, body, and for their entire family during the process, and that they were going to enter into new life, a transition into that. But can you share how certain religious concepts may leave people panicked and afraid?
Well, sure. People, you know, are told that they're going to go to purgatory, or they're worse yet, they're going to hell because, you know, they did something.
Right.
And you know, I can tell you straight up, and you already know this, that there is no such thing as hell. And if there is hell, it's not here on earth.
It's what we do in creating our greatest fears and how we behave with other people that creates something of a concept that's negative. And yes, you are absolutely right. I know when we get up there, we are all in the same energy. We all have different lessons and people to be with and to go on to create and work and share and join in and participate. But there's no help. This just levels and levels of learning.
No, and we're assigned to be guardian angels to our loved ones, our family members that are here, because we have a responsibility to the karmic pod that we came through. So we don't just die and, hey, I'm out of here, and we're off to our next life. We have a responsibility to the pod that we came through. So I always tell my clients and encourage them that what you do for your family members, even if it's, you know, the uncle you didn't like or the brother that you couldn't stand, you know, it doesn't matter. You're doing it for the pod. It's the evolution of the pod.
Of the group.
So when you work on yourself, when you do the inner work yourself, you're healing your whole family. And that's why it's so powerful.
Yes. And beyond our family, we're healing communities and the world ultimately. Beyond that, we are growing to be able to include more and more souls into our heart energy. That brings us to karma. And what is karma, and how is this concept relevant to the death passage and what comes next?
Well, I always take what I talk about out of the duality. And when I describe karma, it's a much deeper description of karma, because I do not give the duality version of it. So I describe karma as being the unresolved emotional woundings from past lives. Mm-hmm. If we're betrayed and we're abandoned in a past life, then that's literally the energy that comes with us, and we play it out again in a different country, a different gender, you know, a different situation, but we still got betrayal and abandonment. And it just, it keeps repeating until we get a chance to clear it. And we have this process that we go through when we come into physical form where we're in such a state of amnesia, we don't remember anything because we're overwhelmed by the physical body, by feeling the mm-hmm. feelings. And yet the paradox is our feelings are literally the energetic, you know, connectors to our source. So we, our homework is to feel our feelings because that's our connection. And of course, the mission statement for humanity that I mentioned in the Angels in the 21st Century book is that we're here to love at the deepest level of our beings. So we've got homework, we've got a mission statement, and then of course there's, you know, clearing our karma, which is forgiveness. If we simply forgive one another, and most of all forgive ourselves, we're at least tackling the karmic aspect of this lifetime. And when I work with people, I'm able to see and clearly, you know, like chart what happened to people in their past lives and go in and clear it karmically. And so much shifts for people that especially in this high frequency of the fifth dimension, they have a hard time understanding why is this happening right now in my life. And for most people, it's because the universe is really demanding we get our karmic stuff cleared.
And we have the help around us. We have the helpers right here on Earth, many spiritual mm-hmm. teachers like you and I, mm-hmm. who are there mm-hmm. and available. And mm-hmm. when called on, we will be consistent and we will stand our ground to help anyone and everyone who comes to us. And you go on to say forgiveness is the beginning and end of living. Now, there is a beginning and there's an end of life in this place, but really right. not an end of life. Can right. you explain how forgiveness is the key ingredient to a successful passage into the spirit realm?
Well, it's the karma thing we were just talking about. You are not, you know, continually carrying and investing in that karma. And I want to say one more thing about karma, because sometimes people will ask me, well, how am I creating more karma? And that is specifically that a person's energy is engaging in the duality. Their energy from their body needs to be grounded into the earth. And the earth is supporting us and supporting our energy field all the time. We can heal from the earth if we just go outside and put our feet on the ground and allow that energy to come up through the bottoms of our feet. But when our energy engages in the duality, oh my God, that was so horrible. Did you see what they did? And the whole world gets the news at the same time, and everybody's energy collectively goes into something that was really bad. So when something is good, we're not throwing all of our energy into that. We're actually grounding our energy and observing that something was good. We're not attached. We're in a state of balance, which is what the earth is doing constantly. She's just trying to keep balance.
I want to thank you, Sonia Grace, for joining us on Healing from Within and sharing. You're welcome. And your hope for each human spirit and soul to reconnect to the earth. And you gave a wonderful technique just there with being out in nature and walking barefoot. And this is shown in your books, Angels in the 21st Century and Earth Ways, Healing Medicine for the Soul. For more information, go to soniagrace.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, Sonia and I, as practicing energy healers, aware of the life and death cycles our ongoing soul life experiences, have shared ideas on how to creatively value life, love, and the promise of growth and change through whatever life experiences we are offered as karma, forgiveness, and the greatest expression of love may issue as we surrender to the process of the unfolding of the layers of our being in alignment to the layers of the seasons of the earth and of all life. I think Sonia expresses it beautifully and I have discovered over time the same prime motivation for all action. Love is not limited in any way to any one person or group of people, for love is an expansion of our soul, which is a fragment of light, of universal energy or creation, and is never ending, but only more radiant as we develop, allow, and accept our own divinity. Sonia writes, and I wholeheartedly agree, the healing process for the soul is to feel our feelings. Seeing through the layers of the human condition, we start to recognize the patterns of what we experienced in this lifetime and past lives, enriching us with the knowledge of how to feel our feelings and clear through forgiveness. This process is necessary so we can heal and love at the deepest level of our being. Imagine how much you love your mother, your father, or your children. Feel that feeling in your body, and now feel that amount of love for everyone in the world. Our families are simply the learning ground for our much bigger Earth family. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to my website, CherylGlick.com, WebTalkRadio.net, and DreamVision7Radio.com, to hear the collective voice of experts and leaders in the fields of healing, human relations, creativity, and evolution. Thank you.